Sports for WMNF comes from our members and Frog Song Organics. Each week, Frog Song Organics delivers healthy produce and pasture-raised meats directly to homes and businesses in the Tampa Bay area. More at frogsongorganics.com, featuring seasonal crops, online shopping, and CSA.
Hello. And welcome to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa, where every other Monday we discuss all things sustainable. Have you ever wondered how far it takes for your food to travel to your plate? Do you wish that there was a more local, sustainable option? Well, stick around for the next hour to find out something that you don't usually see. We have a local farm who just opened up in Tampa. Here is our guest. I want to thank Frank Knox for working the boards today. And today's show's hosts are Tanya Vidovic and...
I'm Grace Benke. And today we're going to be talking to Joe D'Alessio and Travis Malloy, who are two local farmers and founders of Meacham Farm, which is located in the heart of downtown Tampa. Soon after graduating from college, Joe began pursuing a career cultivating local produce in the Bay Area, and he is the head farmer at Meacham. And vegetables are his thing. He also owns and operates a one-acre organic farm in Luce called Blackfinger with another founder of Meacham who's not here with us today, Kristen. Travis is the owner of Trailbale Farm, a small family farm located just east of Tampa, and his specialty is raising animals in the most natural, humane, and environmentally beneficial manner. He spearheads the educational initiatives at Meacham. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning. So can you guys just start off by telling our listeners, each of you, just a little bit about yourselves and your history, and then I want to start talking a little bit about how the vision for Meacham started.
Yeah. I'll let Travis start with his background and introduction, and then we'll take it to me, Joe, and we'll go over that.
His is more elaborate. Hey, so this is Travis. Yeah, I just got into local ag late in life. I'm in my mid-40s, and it just really it resonated with me, the idea of having food grown locally. I think it's really important for everything we're doing. It really doesn't have any downsides, as opposed to a lot of even other environmental initiatives that we get going. So 10 years ago or so, I started helping start community gardens over in Temple Terrace. And really built that up, and I lucked out and found a cheap piece of land and knew I wanted to do something ag with it, and just started adding animals onto it, and things got rolling, and we started up Trailbale Farm out there with organic fed, pasture-raised animals, trying to do that while bringing life back to the soil and doing whole systems ideas. And in the meantime, I tried to help start farmers markets. We started a farmers market in Temple Terrace, and yeah, I try to just stick my nose in wherever something kind of needs doing to get this local food thing to continue it going. And then eventually I met Joe. So here's Joe to talk about his background before we combine.
Do you need to talk to Travis about any of that background there?
No, nope, you can go right ahead, Joe.
All right. So I started... probably in high school, around the age of like 14, 15, 16, I got super heavy into self-reliance, reading Emerson, Thoreau. And that kind of pushed me, those ideas of living in a self-reliant manner, being able to provide your own food and develop yourself as an individual that way, kind of pushed me down this path into growing my own vegetables. And then after getting exposed to those ideas, I started my own garden in my mother's backyard. And something kind of struck me one day when I was out there that this was kind of the path that I was going to pursue with the rest of my life. And so from the jump, I was only introduced to organic. I'm a first generation farmer, so I have had real no exposure to any other styles and commercial ways of farming. I was introduced into organic and regenerative farming right off the get-go, and I kind of went down that path of gardening that style. And at that time, I was really into tropical fruits, medicinal herbs, and that all kind of kept growing and growing. And then throughout college, I was working multiple jobs and working on my degree in microbiology at the University of South Florida. And it was just something that kept nagging me to keep pursuing. And so once I graduated, I just kind of fully committed, dropped everything, and put all my money and savings into starting Black Finger Farm over in Loup. And then started building the business and, growing as much food as I can for my community and myself and my family. And then it just kind of met Travis, and we got introduced into this project and just kept expanding from there.
So how long ago did the idea of Meacham kind of start forming?
So at this juncture right now, we're probably close to three years into the project. We started, me and Travis met at Temple Ferris Market when I first started farming. And he and I were hit it off, became friends, and he introduced this proposal that the city had out for Meacham, and then we worked together to put together the grant package project roughly 3 years ago. So it's been about 2.5 years in permanent planning and development, and we've been farming on the land since roughly October, and so this is our first true season out there. And then Travis has a little bit more to add on that.
Yeah, I was going to say that the Tampa Housing Authority is the one who requested this farm to actually exist. The Encore neighborhood is their new development close to downtown Tampa. It's a huge multi-acre, several city blocks where it's a mixed. It's a mix of market rate apartments and public housing in a way, one of those innovative things. And they had a 2-acre spot that they didn't really have immediate plans for that the school district owns. And so they put out a request that they wanted an urban farm down here. And word got out to us through the grapevine and, to me. And I knew Joe is a hard worker with a vision, especially for urban farming. So, pitch the idea to him. The Tampa Housing Authority and the school district really wants education to be a big part of it too. So there's going to be a lot of those things tied in. So we worked it together, and with Tampa Housing Authority's funding and Hillsborough School District's land, we've kind of all partnered together to put this together.
That's great. So people talk about food deserts a lot, and I know that happens a lot in urban areas. Can you speak on that a little bit? And probably a lot of part of what the city of Tampa is trying to do with this project too, provide local food to local people in places where it's not generally as available.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, it's not USDA technically a food desert anymore because there's a Publix in the Channelside district, which is technically walking distance, but it's still pretty far. And a lot of people, especially the seniors in this neighborhood, don't have vehicles, so they don't have a lot of access to get over there. So having setting up here to have fresh organic produce and the other things we bring was a big deal for them. Definitely one of their main reasons for starting the farm down here. Before us, there was a veggie truck that would drive through once a week. Wow. And set up in a cell, and it was hugely popular. People would buy a ton of vegetables from them. So that was a big reason to bring us down here.
I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa. Today, we are talking about a new urban farm that has just opened up in downtown Tampa, Meacham Urban Farm, with guests Travis Malloy and Joe D'Alessio. If you have any questions, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Travis, you mentioned that the Tampa Housing Authority and the school district requested it. Are they still a part of the decision making and the running of the farm?
It's a unique combination of ownership here. We are technically, well, we have to, we're a for-profit farm. Their idea was to bring in a farm. And not a community garden, and not a like a community initiative like that. They wanted a productive for-profit farm in here, really cranking out the produce. So we have that autonomy. We also have a nonprofit branch for the education side, but we work closely with them. They're out here a lot. They're very proud of the project, the Tampa Housing Authority. It's, you know, nobody's really done this in the country in a workable farm like that in the middle of, you know, one of these projects. So they're thrilled and they're here a lot. But we have a lot of autonomy on what we do. They helped us get it built and set us loose. But you know, we're partnering with them however we can. We're here to support the residents and be a part of this community. And they are, you know, obviously the quickest link to everyone in the neighborhood.
It seems like that's pretty progressive of them to actually have the vision to do this. Like you said, it's you don't see it in the country anywhere else. You said something a while back in the beginning of this interview. You said bringing life back to the soil and the term regenerative farming. Could you explain those two principles?
Yeah, so our approach to farming, our vegetable farm here, is it's a soil-centric farm. So the idea behind regenerative farming is bringing soil biology and carbon back into the soil. So everything that we're working towards, we do a low-till style of farming. So we don't do any heavy machinery. It's all hand tools. And we do minimal surface tillage, basically to work in different compost and things like that in the top quarter inch of the soil. So everything that we're doing, we're focusing on the plant health to bring back life into the soil. And the soil that we have here is just incredibly, basically like foundation drainage sand soil. So the sand holds no fertility or moisture in it. So these practices, by bringing in compost, by growing specific crops and doing specific mineral amendments to the soil, is kind of the direction that we're taking it to help build up that biology and organic matter in the soil.
Now, to farmers, I feel like, and gardeners, we know, but is not every soil healthy? Like if you go and just have a plot in the city, are you not going to have healthy soil that you can garden in?
I think every soil has the potential to be healthy if it's not beyond repair, like if there's no direct contamination or like radioactivity. I think all soils, and through research that bioremediation research that they're doing a lot out in Washington and things like that, cleaning up oil spills and whatnot, using fungals and biology, I think every soil has the potential to be regenerated. I mean, that's one of the great aspects about life. It can bounce back incredibly fast. So it's more about, like, you know, going there, assessing your soils to see if it has the potential to be remediated. And if you're willing to put in the effort and time, you know, over the years to make it happen, then I think it's possible for most any soil.
You do a lot of soil testing and stuff.
Yeah. We do. We send out about like 5 different soil analyses before we even started, just to make sure that everything was on par.
And it compares, like you can see the difference in the analysis of the soil from when you first started to now.
We're doing analysis every 6 months at this point, and we're so new. At my other farm, yes, you can see the environment balancing out, especially with minerals and nutrients like that, and water retention. So you can see those things in getting better over the years. But we're so new at this point that it's going to take us, you know, another year to really see the effects of what we're doing now.
And you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa. Today, we're talking to Travis and Joe from Meacham Farm, which is a local urban farm that just opened up in the heart of Tampa. If you have any questions, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us and I'll read your question out loud, dj@wmnf.org.
So we were just talking about, you know, Florida soil is always pretty sandy and, you know, especially in urban areas, it can be not very fertile to begin with. And you guys have done so much in what seems like such a small amount of time with such a small amount of space. What are you doing to make that happen? Because, I mean, I've gone a few times and I'm blown away by how much you're able to grow in the sandy soil that I'm used to.
Yeah, so it was, I've been doing this for 3 years. I guess that's relatively no time at all. But so I had a stepwise procedure to get the soil in a position to where it can be productive. So when we first got on that land, we actually had to do some physical remediation to remove actual debris. So it was like going to farm in a rocky soil. So we actually had to physically get the soil to a position to where it could be farmed in the manner that we wanted to farm it. So we physically remediated it. And then we went and biologically we added molasses and biologicals to start stimulating the activity of that soil on that land. And then when we were in the planning phase project of this project, after we started doing the biologicals down, we went and put in a small cover crop of sun hemp to start getting, you know, root exudates and start building microbial relationships in the soil. And then once we did that, we went to we broke down the cover crops in there, and then we went to a permanent bed based system to where we used an Albrecht style of soil balancing, which you balance the chemistry, and then you focus on the plant biology to start bringing life back into the soil through the root exudate. So that's kind of like the methodology that we use. We do a little bit of physical enhancement of the soil through additions of amendments like peat moss, compost, and we use a lot of chicken byproducts to start stimulating that activity. And then we use a lot of biologicals, like compost-style peas. And we're really trying to get it cranked up and get life back into that soil to be able to produce as much. And at this point, it's like the farm doesn't carry plants longevity-wise, so that will continue to get better over the next couple years. So plants can really fluctuate in health very quickly on our soils just because there's no retention of nutrients. You know, there's no cation exchange happening, and the moisture is just non-existent in the sand.
Yeah. So, Travis, I want to go back a little bit to, you said, you know, that this is a really unique sort of project that you haven't really seen anywhere else in the country. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on, I know you're just at the very beginning, but do you think this sort of thing is scalable to do other places throughout the country?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing we were excited about is it was tough to get started. You know, if you go build a farm out in the sticks, you draw up some plans on a napkin and take them down to the permitting office, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that looks great." It's agriculture, sure, throw it up. But you know, we're a block from the biggest interchange in three counties. You know, 275 and I-4, and they're like, "Well, you know, if your greenhouse blows up onto the interstate, we're gonna have a problem." So we had to go through all the city permitting, which is very extensive, I guess I would say. And you know, there was talk about fighting it and really pushing back, but then there was also like, well, let's get through this and show the lessons learned at the end. So we know the problems with permitting now. And, you know, even when the inspectors would come out and they'd say, oh, it's just a farm, you know, and check, check, check. So we can go back now and be this example of something that got in place and show to other people. The Tampa Housing Authority, again, has already been pushing for that. They've been bringing in other housing authorities from other areas. We had a visitor from Shreveport, Louisiana. There's a group from Texas that's going to get us on the phone this week with this idea that they want to try it in other places. But it's very scalable. You know, there's, you know, I think we could give those lessons learned, like the minimum acreage that would make it feasible. You know, what kind of, again, what kind of permitting and hardships you have to go through to actually get it built. And a big one is how much it would cost to do, especially when you hit all those things, because, you know, building per city codes isn't cheap and checking off all those boxes. But it's, you know, it brings so many different benefits to a neighborhood. And that I mean, I think at the end of, you know, in a few years when they see us rolling at 100%, they're going to see how important and how worth the investment it would be to do this all over the place.
So you talked about having education, and that's a big thing that you're going to do. Can you talk a little bit about that? What sorts of classes do you think you would have, and what type of education are you talking about?
So like I said, the school district owns the land, and so part of our contract is to have Hillsborough County School District students come to the farm and do classes and everything. And our initial pitch was, we envision it. When I was a kid, we would go on like factory tours. We'd see, you know, how some wood pulp becomes paper and printed and books, and all the way through the process. And so we pitched that originally, you know, just have a farm tour where you start off in the composting area, go to the, you know, seed starting propagation house where you're planting into the ground, you're growing and harvesting, all the way through washing and processing, and out of our farm stand store, selling to the customers. You know, you can see the full life cycle of everything. So we're hoping to do that. But the school district also put together a team to work on some curriculum with farm-based educational classes that we can incorporate. So we have, you know, they've been planning this for a while, so we have access to a lot of good information. You know, it's nice. We're not really on our own to develop the entire education curriculum. We're going to bring our expertise in what we know about the farm and everything, and then let the teachers come in and bring their expertise on what kids actually, you know, will absorb and want to know and what they're trying to teach them. Anyway, another part is that we're definitely going to have open to the public classes on a range of different things, especially for the Encore residents in the neighborhood, but they'll also be open to the public. And we'll probably start off with some nutrition awareness things and roll from there. We've got a great partnership in the farm with Fresh Access Bucks, which is a part of Feeding Florida, that we're open to accept SNAP and EBT at the market, and Fresh Access Bucks doubles the value of the dollar spent for Fresh Florida produce. And they're just a huge help with all these things, and they want to see a lot of education on nutrition and cooking. And so we've got a lot of the people who are going to help and want us to do those classes. So that's probably where we're going to start off with. But we're also going to have farming and gardening and composting and chicken classes. We've got a great venue to do all that kind of stuff here.
I like it. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF 88.5. Today, our guests are Travis Malloy and Joe D'Alessio of Meacham Farm. If you have any questions for our guests, please call us on air at 813-239-9663 or shoot us an email at dj@wmnf.org.
Speaking of phone calls, we actually have our first caller, Jenny from Sarasota. I would like to welcome you to the Sustainable Living Show.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Can you all hear me?
Absolutely.
Good. I just wanted to call in because I was very involved in a farm in Baltimore County that was owned by the Baltimore City School System, and it's called Great Kids Farm. And they've been doing what you're talking about now for about 20 years. And I believe they would have a wealth of knowledge to share. They're doing exactly what you're doing. They have school children come out for tours and learning days. They bus them out from the city. And they also are connected to the community where they provide a farmer's market. They had a culinary component. The farm is amazing. It's grown every year, and they've added new components to it. So it really might be worth a trip up there to learn from a farm that's been doing this for a long time. They have a fantastic curriculum, and it's just a fantastic program.
I just wanted to call and share that with you. Yeah, if you, that's great. We would love to get in contact with them and see what they're doing and see what we can learn from them.
Right, they might even be able to share their curriculum. I know they had a huge, big binder of the, and it was all related to Common Core learning. And so they've linked it all to the academics, and it's a fantastic program on a beautiful piece of property owned by the school system. So you don't have to recreate the wheel on some certain things.
Awesome. Well, Jenny, actually, if you email it to me at dj@wmnf.org or to sustainablesafetyharbor@gmail, then I can get it to our guests.
Okay, I will do that. I'm busy today. I will do that tonight for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for the call, Jenny.
Good luck. Wonderful.
Thank you.
So, Travis and Joe, so when we're talking about you being, I guess, one of the first ones in the country to kind of partner with all of these different city entities and school boards, and talking about the ability to recreate this, having another someone in the future, another city kind of try to do what you're doing. Are you trying to create a program? Are you keeping track of like the money spent, the soil needed, the water usage, promotions and sales in order to kind of be able to present this information?
So we do our due diligence. Diligence as a business and an operation to keep track of all of our records of what went into the project, labor, time, the stepwise process. So we definitely have the ability to put together packets and more information. I don't necessarily know if it's what we, I don't know if we have anything exactly put together to reproduce to people, but we definitely have all that information detailed.
That's awesome. I mean, It seems like there's going to be a lot of potentially districts and schools and a lot of partnerships in the future. So that's awesome.
I'm really hoping that we can, like that previous caller stated, like an example of one of these farms that are able to bring incredible value into the community to where, people will come around and visit us, and then, other municipalities will want us to come out and help consult and facilitate these programs around the country. I mean, that would be a great thing that me and Travis have talked about, and if the potential arises, we are working incredibly hard to be an example for other people to do it.
That's awesome. And so you talk about the community involvement and everything. Are you seeing, and are you having people out there volunteering, and are you doing classes yet, or is that something that you're going to be doing in the future?
So we do a very minor, volunteer program right now. We're working, at the point right now, we're working to basically get our feet under us and get the produce established, because that's how we're maintaining financially at the moment. So we are looking to launch a larger volunteer program in the fall, and we're putting together a coordinator right now that will be able to manage volunteers, so it would be great benefit for the people who come out and the farm. We're working to get the experience really valuable for everyone involved, so it's not quite launched yet.
And the school, as far as classes and everything, the school district pretty much gave us a pass for this year because of COVID. You know, field trips are kind of off. So we're working with them to plan to really start bringing out those classes in the fall. And we'll do some, we've had a couple private schools bring some kids out and do some minor touring. But, you know, the big programs are going to start in the fall.
Awesome. And then, so you mentioned, obviously, with the Tampa Housing Authority and Encore and the school system, they're a part of the process. Are they helping financially at all, get you started and off the ground?
Yeah, so originally when they put out the request for proposal through the HUD and the Tampa Housing Authority, they had a federal grant that helped with the primary infrastructure of the property. And then we had great financial assistance from different entities in the area. And Travis can speak a little bit more on those.
Yeah, but yeah, Tampa Housing Authority and HUD were definitely our biggest benefactors to get up everything and running. You know, we pitched the build out, and they definitely had all the build out costs there for us for most things. But you know, in the meantime, as we were rolling, turns out it was way more expensive to build. There's a city group, the Central Park CRA, one of the community redevelopment groups, that helped us get the classroom set up. And Tampa Housing Authority helped us get in touch with Bank of America, which gave a generous grant. It looks like we might have a Whole Foods grant coming through. We may do a little advertiser for them.
Awesome.
And so, you know, a lot of people are really behind this, and everyone we bring out, takes a look at it and is just blown away. And then during construction, you know, we've had some help, like, Capena Construction, which is my dad's construction company, he came out and donated so much time.
Well, that's nice to have the connection.
Oh, sorry. Capena Construction, which is my dad's construction company, came out and really helped us out, donated so much time, getting this old city lot shaped up to look like a farm.
That's great.
We've had a lot of help.
We actually have another caller, so let's go to Jason in Land O'Lakes. Welcome to the Sustainable Living Show, Jason.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great.
Great. I wanted to point out three of my agricultural inspirations. The first, Dr. Rudolf Steiner, the founder of the Biodynamic School of Agriculture in the 1920s. The second is Bill Mollison, who founded the permaculture method of agriculture in Australia. And the third, Masanobu Fukuoka, who founded the natural way of farming. He has two books out, and I think he's deceased now, but in the 1980s, he was very influential. Okay?
Awesome. Thanks for the information, Jason.
Sure. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And then we see we have an email. Oops, and my email just closed out for some.
About those authors, we're big fans. You know, especially the permaculture idea of stacking functions. We'd like to think that in multiple ways we're stacking functions on the farm. Farming wise and social education, community building wise.
And let me see, we have an email that says, "Good morning, great show. I work downtown and live in Seminole Heights. Can you restate where the farm is located and the farm stand hours? Thank you."
Yeah. The farm is located at 1108 East Scott Street. We're right on the junction of I-4 and 275 exit. So we are just north east of the core building. Yeah. So we're right in that little, and it's located in the Encore housing development. And our farm store, where we sell our produce and we bring in other local farmers as well, is open Saturday 9 to 1 and Sunday 10 to 1. And we are pushing to be a 12-month out-of-the-year operation.
Awesome. And I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF in Tampa. Our guests today are Travis and Joe from Meacham Farms. If you have any questions for them, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org, and I will read your question on the air.
And we're doing a pretty bad job about, you know, there's a million things going on. But we haven't mentioned our third partner, Kristen, here yet. Kristen has been farming with Joe for years and, you know, got Blackfinger up and running. And she's a really important part of what we're doing. She has a day job. All of us partners can't be on the farm full time. So she couldn't make the call. But she's the hyper-organized one who keeps everything in line and is really has the aesthetic eye that brings so much to the farm. You know, all of our, yeah, just lay from layout to store layout and all our graphics and everything. She's doing all the artwork and, yeah, which is a huge deal. I think all three of us bring wildly different strengths to the farm. And, you know, without the three of us, I don't think it would be what it is.
So speaking of what you can find at the farm, why don't you tell our listeners who haven't had the pleasure of going yet what sort of thing they can find when they show up to the farmer's market on the weekend?
So we grow a whole variety of seasonal produce. You know, we're just phasing out of our tomatoes at the moment, but we grow all the very traditional staples, cucumbers, tomatoes, lettuce, different variations of baby greens, arugulas, you know, carrots, beets. So we grow the full spectrum. We grow about 40 varieties of fruits and vegetables out there. And then we also bring in other products that we don't grow quite as much of, like potatoes and celery and products like that. And then also in our store, we carry local sustainable meat, chicken, beef, pork, and organic soy-free eggs. And then we also carry fresh bread from Sullivan Bakery. And we carry local honey. And so we got the full spectrum of all the pantry goods. And then we also carry, speaking of pantry goods, we carry pantry goods like very high-quality herbs and spices and beans and rices.
Olive oil.
Kimchi.
And, of course, pickles. There's the donut.
And, of course, everyone, give a shout-out to Wesley Rogers over at Supernaturals, who comes out every Saturday and does vegan and high, incredibly good donuts. Sourdough donuts.
And just, you know, everything's organic. You know, we're very serious about that. So you're not going to find anything that isn't. The two great farm partners we have for vegetables, Frog Song Organics. You may have heard of them, especially in the ad right before the show. And, and Little Pond Farm out of Bushnell. You know, we've made friends with them, and just really impressed with their stuff. And like Joe said, we're growing as much as we can, but they're so good at some things that we definitely need that to supplement.
So I know you guys used to have a CSA. What's going on with that now?
So we operate a CSA currently still. We don't have the traditional CSA model where it's a prepackaged box. We now operate as a farm card program to where individuals and families can pre-purchase a farm card, which acts as basically a gift card. And then they get a discount return for pre-purchasing. And there's different tiers, so that the more you pre-purchase, the larger amount of discount you can get. And then people can use that farm card to shop at our store with all of our products or pre-order online prior to the public. So it's a great opportunity. You know, we're very minimal acreage. So our customers can reserve our produce, and then they can also come in the store and shop as well. And it's a la carte, so you basically have the flexibility to pick and choose the vegetables you want and shop when you want. And there's no expiration date on that card, so it rolls over season after season. So it's an incredibly flexible CSA-style program that we operate now, and we've getting really great feedback from that style of CSA, and I really enjoy it. It's great for the farmers as well.
So how do people get access to that? Can they just go on your website and sign up that way?
Yeah, so we are launching, we are reopening our membership program next week, the 24th. And you can go on our website, meetramfarm.com, and you can sign up there. And we will be posting social media and some other places that those farm cards are open, available again.
Awesome. You're listening to the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF 88.5. Today we're talking to Travis and Joe of Meacham Farm in downtown Tampa. If you have any questions for them, you can call us at 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org.
So we got an email from David who says, thanks so much for the great show today. I was wondering whether the farm sells veggies to local restaurants. That might be a great way to market your farm to the local community. I love the educational aspect of the farm too. David.
Appreciate the question and the comment there. We do very minimal wholesale at the moment. We are heavily focused on our membership program and our retail farm store. I have operated for restaurants in the past. Currently, we don't have the volume to supply that demand, and we don't have the proper structure to facilitate a great purchasing and buying experience for chefs and restaurants. So we will be opening up to restaurants and chefs in the future, but everyone is more than welcome to come down to our farm store and shop. So if there are local chefs out there listening, you know, Saturday and Sunday, I know it's kind of it's hard to get out, but we'll work at the end.
And
always sell your produce.
You mentioned that people can pre-purchase. If somebody just wants to buy one time, are they allowed to just stop by and buy, or is it only through that card?
No, it's not only through the card. It's open to the public. The card is just an opportunity to be a member and help support the farm, like a traditional CSA model of community-supported agriculture, to where, you know, the pre-purchase and pre-selling of the produce helps us facilitate growing things in the future and be able to produce future products. So it helps with the labor, the seeds, the fertilizer, and everything like that.
Awesome. Thanks for the clarification on that. And then what happens to the produce that isn't bought each week?
So right now we are in this fantastic balance where we do not have a whole lot of waste. So any produce that is not being bought is definitely being utilized by our people that are working. And then we also take the minimal food scraps that we have left and feed it to our chickens and worms to produce secondary products. And then we also have an individual chef, a private chef here in the area, that takes some of our products like beets, onions, leeks, and things like that, and turns those products into pickles and preserves and ferments to supply in the store. So we try to minimize all that waste that we have, but it's very, very minimal at the moment.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a full circle operation you have going on.
Yeah.
We have another email from Hayden who says, hi, I am a St. Pete local and love this segment. What is the name of the farm stand and is there a website? So if you want to maybe spell the name of the farm stand and then say the website, that would be great.
Yeah, so the farm is named after Christine Meacham, who is a principal in the area. And we respected her last name, and it is MEACHAM. So that's Meacham Farm, and our website is meachamfarm.com. And then you can also email us at contact@meachamfarm.com. And if you search, like, downtown farm, downtown Tampa farm, and Google and everything like that, we should pop up, unless there's other farms popping up around here.
So we talk about having a local farm downtown and how rare that is. I would like for y'all to maybe discuss a little bit about how far food usually travels. Like if you go and buy it in the grocery store, how far is that lettuce traveling versus having your lettuce, and why that's significant?
I am not the most educated on these subject matters, but standard-wise, it's like California produces majority of the produce that is bought in this country.
So you're looking at, you know, a significant cross-continental delivery of produce, and that produce is, you know, harvested, stored, and then shipped. So you're having days upon days, possibly a week or so before that product gets to you, which a lot of people, especially people who are net no baby greens and like spinaches and arugulas and lettuces, the products you always get are typically wilt in 1 to 2 days, where our product is harvested the day before you purchase it, and it has a lot more shelf stability, a lot more freshness to it, crispness, and flavor palate-wise. And so that's kind of, you know, we're focusing on quality and flavor and freshness. You know, we go through a lot of post-harvest handling, and we're very particular about it. And those things will even get better and better over the years as the quality of our soil and farm gets better.
So I know that obviously the quality is better, and it also having a local farm is going to decrease that carbon footprint, which I think is really important. That and should be a part of consideration when people are making purchases. And I want to go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, absolutely. It's like, you know, we are not using actually any delivery vehicles to get to the farm store. It's just rolling right in. So it's a beautiful process that we got going on down here.
You're listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF Tampa. Today, we are talking about Tampa's newest urban farm, maybe only urban farm, with local guests, local farmers, Travis and Joe from Meechan Urban Farm. If you have any questions, give us a call, 813-239-9663, or email us at dj@wmnf.org.
I'd like to just point out we're not the only urban farm in Tampa. We've got a really interesting, nice complementary selection of farms in the area. The Sustainable Living Project in Seminole Heights is a nonprofit that is a great place to go and volunteer and work and learn about farming. Sweetwater Community Organic Farm, of course, by the airport.
That is true. I guess I was talking about like actually down in the downtown center. But yes, we do have lots of awesome local farms in Tampa. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion.
I'm going to get yelled at by if I don't mention their stuff, because they're great. And, you know, and plus all the community gardens in the area.
Absolutely.
We fit in really well, I think, because for the most part, you know, there's different levels of, you know, community involvement. We take it back a little bit when people come out and they're like, well, can I go pick my stuff? Like, no, we got that. You know, we're farming. We're making it max production. And that's our, you know, and then we're putting education on top of that as opposed to doing it the opposite way. So it's a little, you know, we're going to see how the education plays out with that. But it's a little bit different model, I think, than when you start a farm education-minded and then try to produce or community-minded with community gardens, and you're not going to get the max production out of something like that. Whereas, you know, we just had Joe Luce on this place, and it's cranking out like crazy. So it's, you know, just a different, you know, a different mindset. I think we complement our other local farms really well.
So what can the community do to support you guys and make sure that everything's happening? Like, again, is it just buying stuff at the farm store? I know you said you have... may expand your volunteer program. What other things, like, are there things that we can, you know, tell the city you're doing a great job? What can we do to make sure we're supporting them?
All those things are great. Yeah, come, you know, shopping, yeah, is the biggest thing. Eat, trying those vegetables you're not sure about, you know, see the huge stack of Swiss chard there and you haven't tried it, grab a bundle of that and give it a shot. Tell your friends. You know, we mentioned the farm card. If you really like what we're doing and want to be supportive, you buy a farm card. And even if you don't have an intention of spending it really fast, that would be always helpful. The volunteer stuff will come in soon. But again, you know, there's other groups in the area you can volunteer for as well. Just, you know, getting the word out for us. We've been slow. We intentionally slowed down our initial advertising as the farm got up to speed. You know, we didn't want to make a big stink and then not have anything for people to buy. So, you know, I think this fall, when the growing season officially starts again, we'll have our big blowout advertising and more events and, you know, maybe, you know, a nut butter festival or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. coming down on the weekends and hanging out would be great. Also, one more partner we have in the project, we promised a lot of neighborhood composting, and it got super busy. And Suncoast Compost, which is a great local business, is now composting at our site.
Oh, that's great.
And they've got a real interesting business model where they, you know, have subscriptions to collect people's kitchen scraps and everything. And so they've got us set up right on site and are, you know, starting to produce now, and it's looking really great.
So I wanted to ask, you said you were aiming eventually, I got to go back to the growing part just real quick here. You want to be a 12-month long, you know, operation. And I'm totally curious about your plans for summertime, because it is just so hot.
Yeah, it gets pretty intense out here, especially on our white sand. It really reflects back into your face. So it gets pretty brutal. So our goal to be a 12-month operation, we do have infrastructure on the farm, and we will be adding a little bit more infrastructure of shade cloths and covers to help extend those shoulder seasons to where we can get products, keep products in the ground longer at the end of spring, and then also get them in earlier at the beginning of fall to kind of cut those months here and there off the ends of the seasons in the beginning. And then we are trying to do a lot more storage things for the summer. So the variety and quantity will definitely be reduced, but we're trying to have crops like carrots, beets, cabbages, potatoes, onions, and have those crops stored to be able to provide a fresher product throughout the summer for our customers. And then we'll transition doing a lot of like smaller microgreens and beet greens and shoots. So the variety will definitely change, and you know, we'll be doing a lot more storage stuff. So those are kind of our things that we're trying to do, and we're experimenting a little bit more with hot peppers and what we're really looking to try and take the summer as the option to produce shelf-stable products, of partnering up with chefs and a commercial kitchen and stabilizing those products to be able to sell not only in the summer but throughout the season.
And are you going to expand the hours at all to during the week, or is it primarily going to stay the weekend operation?
We are always looking to grow our availability. We are currently operating just the weekends, and we are looking to add additional days during the week. We haven't quite felt out what we can handle, so it's just going to be a slow, natural process, and we're always looking to be more and more available to have access to local food.
Awesome.
And our operation, you know, farming kind of tradition, it's like you're harvesting and packing throughout the week, so it's kind of difficult to operate a store and farm at the same time. So we're just slowly developing those things and slowly going to expand our hours.
And I just want to say thank you so much to Joe and Travis from Meacham Farms for coming on the Sustainable Living Show. You've been awesome guests, and we're all excited about this new adventure that you have in the community. You know, we're very fortunate to have you. So thanks, Grace, for being on the air with me. Thanks to Frank for managing the boards. And join us again in 2 weeks for Sustainable Living Show. And actually, next Monday is going to be Alternative Health with Dr. Harvey at 10 a.m.
Thank you, guys.